south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, people who come down to Latin America recognize a couple of big problems in Latin cities. One is air pollution. Of course, as I've mentioned many times, Latin governments pass all the first world laws, but they never seem to enforce them, or when they do, it's very sporadically. That can be a good and bad thing, a double-edged sword, because we don't want more government intrusion and interference, we want less of it, right? You guys up in the first world are learning that lesson the hard way. However, Latin societies in general are just not big on details, whereas as first world gringos, we're born into a competitive and detailed-oriented society. And the reason you'd call a country or society first world or third world depends, for the most part, on the standards they adhere to. For example, when you build a house or any kind of project up in the States, you have to go through 100 different idiotic inspections. And every time, the inspector, to justify his job, of course, has to find some picky thing wrong. There'll be something you have to tear out, change, or adjust. Come on, if that building inspector returned to his government office and everything was A-OK and he had nothing marked on his clipboard, his job and usefulness would be redundant. It's what you call government job security, right? You ever hear the story about the window installer who sent his kid around at night to throw rocks and break people's windows? Well, you can bet when that kid grows up, he'll end up working for government. Now, down here in Latin America, when you build a house or building, there are supposed to be inspections, and sometimes there are one or two. Which is why when Latins build a house or a building, they're loaded with defects, and when gringos or first world people build theirs, you'll always see the difference in the details. So, what works in our favor, in cases like that, where you've got endemic government fat-ass laziness, well, unfortunately, it works against us when it comes to pollution, especially in the medium and large cities. And yet, you'll hear many long-term gringos and expats say, you know, I'll deal with the pollution down here. I can live where I want, and I just won't live where there's a lot of pollution. And you know, that'll solve the problem for them as individuals anyway. I hear that from gringos all the time. They know how far the pendulum has swung up in the States. Up there, everyone's known a business or two or three that has been regulated out of existence. Sure, down here in Latin America, oftentimes the lack of regulations and enforcement kind of pisses off a lot of us gringos, though Latins don't seem to mind. They're used to it. For example, there's the fact that Latin men consider the whole world their urinal. And if you're down here long enough, soon enough you'll find out, and maybe it's a good thing, that government inspectors, even cops, don't even know their own rule books. Now, you'd think that would be a job prerequisite, right? But remember, 95% of these guys do not own their own cars. And until they got that government job and got to ride around in a car or a police vehicle, they never even had a driver's license. How could they when they didn't have a car to take the test in? I mean, really, who can afford a car on a salary of $400 or $500 a month? So how can you expect those numbskulls, most with only an 8th or 10th grade education, to know how to police the roads efficiently? Oh, and you'll find in most every medium and large Latin city, medium to heavy air pollution. You just can't avoid it. Cars and motorcycles, blown fumes, and the worst offenders? Public transportation and chicken buses. And who owns those or contracts out those services? Why, the government, of course. So when new green expats and gringos arrive at the airport, that's the first complaint they usually have, the pollution. Oh, and the second biggest complaint you get from gringos when they see Latin cities for the first time is the congested streets and the chaos of the traffic. That means if you live in or near any big or medium-sized city, you learn to pace the traffic with the time of day. Or you'll end up spending 4 hours a day in traffic like so many Latins do who drive to work. Though it might be nothing new for some of you up there who are braving that kind of traffic in Cleveland or LA or Chicago. If you do, I don't feel sorry for you because it's really your choice, right? Doesn't have to be that way, you know. Though, luckily, in any big city that has terrible traffic, there are those times of day where it's easy to go from one end of the city to another in a half an hour or less. And during rush hour, 2, maybe 3 hours for the same trip. So, bottom line, if you're going to work in a Latin city, you better live close by to your job. All the better, of course, work from your own condo, residential high-rise subdivision or house. That way you almost never have to fight the traffic like most clueless Latins do, day in and day out. In fact, that's why perhaps 90% or more of working Latins live for the weekend. That's the 90% that spends at least 3 to 4 hours a day commuting in a car or a bus. And recently, as mentioned in a past show, there's been a big push for Latins with a little bit of money to live out in the burbs. So they're moving where the air is clean, away from the pollution and the chaos and the crime. However, since the big cities where all the jobs are, they have to drive in and out every day. I have to mention again, it's all about lag time. They're following the gringo trend of moving out to the safe, airy burbs. Meanwhile, they found out, like so many stupid gringos up in the States who moved to the suburbs did, they'll be stuck with the rest of the lemmings in traffic for 2 to 4 hours a day. So again, gringos and expats coming down. I recommend you don't live in a big or medium-sized city, but the suburbs are very cool. There are a lot of great, wide-open, inexpensive upscale options. After all, there's a tremendous real estate bubble, and it's a renter's market. It's a great option because you're far enough away yet close to everything, especially if you're retired or you work from home and you don't have to drive into the city more than a couple of times a week. Sure, during the rush hours, there'll still be terribly chaotic and irritating traffic jams, but if you don't work in the city, you won't have that problem, and if you have to go in, you pick the times when the traffic's at a low ebb. Now, speaking of terribly irritating traffic and traffic jams, you know, people from all backgrounds and careers listen to this program. For some reason, I seem to have a lot of computer, scientific, and engineering types. I kind of think because they're realists. They base their life on facts. They're seeing the cracks in the wall up in the States, and they know the finger in the dike is not going to last much longer, which is why it seems so many engineers and scientific types are on board with a plan B. And not surprisingly, why so many liberal arts types are not at all interested in leaving the country. They're not on board with a plan B and believe the government will make it right. That is, spend their way out of this mess. They know how to fix it. They'll tell you the government just needs to create a few more laws and departments and agencies. They'll tell you, we just have to get the right people in there. Hey, it worked so far with every past crisis, right? That said, just recently, I had a long talk with an expat gringo friend of mine, a structural engineer from the States. He said he could write a book on what Latins do wrong when they design their cities and why the traffic is absolutely miserable and chaotic, no matter how many transit cops they put on the streets in hopes of organizing some of that chaos. So we got to talking about it a little bit, and he said, Johnny, you know, if any one of these cities put me in charge of the civil engineering projects, I bet I'd be able to lessen the chaos and increase the traffic flow by 50%. He said, I don't care what Latin city you pick, they've all made the same mistakes. He says he can't believe these idiot road contractors haven't got any access to the modern road construction programs and software. And if they do, he said, they probably don't know how to use them or they're not in Spanish. He says these days they use Google Maps and drones to take thousands of real-time videos of the traffic flow, specifically the bottlenecks that tie up traffic every day in the same places. Then you plug in those road parameters into the software and the answers come out immediately. For example, you tell the program you want the modifications that'll make traffic flow 30% faster at a given section of road, and it prints out a number of solutions. And the software even designs the road modifications for you. He said these software programs are available in all the civil engineering departments of every university. But the real problem, he said, is they're copying gringo methods and techniques again, and they don't necessarily apply here in Latin America. For example, down here, he says the vast majority of the population uses public transportation, basically chicken buses and such, and don't have cars. And that completely changes the traffic flow patterns. Now, in some of the very big Latin cities, there are elevated trains and subway systems called metros, of course, though only a handful of large Latin cities are so equipped. So in about 90% of the large and medium-sized Latin cities, the overwhelming majority of people travel by bus. In that regard, my gringo friend said he knew how to solve the bottleneck problem cheaply and easily. And I've thought about this myself. First, you start with a redesign of the bus stops. If you do any traffic road pattern analysis, you'll see that's where almost all of the rush hour bottlenecks occur. He said what retarded road contractors in Latin America traditionally do, they'll put a bus stop in front of a school, strip mall, subdivision, business center, whatever. They'll design an extra indented lane so the buses can pull in and pick up the passengers. The idea is that the bus has pulled into that spare lane out of the flow of the normal traffic. You've seen that setup a million times. It's all over the place in the States, too. And it works. However, here in Latin America, where more people by far take buses than cars, that extra little lane at the bus stop is never enough. They're designed so that two, maybe three buses can pull in there, out of the flow of regular traffic. So they're vastly under-designed for Latin American conditions, since there could be 7, 8, even 10 buses lined up to get to that stop. So picture 50, 60, even 100 such bus stops with the overflow of buses stopped and blocking the right lane. And that's when this engineering buddy of mine said, you know what? They've copied first world techniques here, but stupidly keep repeating the same mistake. And except for the big cities with subways and elevated trains, only a small percentage of U.S. citizens take the bus to work every day. So he said it's these retarded, thick-headed government idiots who give out the road contracts mostly to their own cronies who've turned these Latin American cities into the chaotic traffic messes that they are. And how to fix it, he said, is easy. You don't have to spend millions widening roads and creating auxiliary access routes. There's only two things you have to do to alleviate probably 50% of the congestion in Latin cities. Wouldn't that be nice, he said, but it ain't gonna happen. Why? Because it's too logical and it's government. So how to fix it? Well, he said, number one, do not allow buses to stop willy-nilly anywhere they wish just to pick up passengers. And that's just what they do. Instead, you'd have to force them, under pressure of fines and such, to only stop and pick up passengers at designated bus stops. And at the bus stops, you know, the big ones at shopping malls and schools and such, where the buses really pile up, that's where you cut out another lane. Instead of one little lane where they weave into, you make two and you make them long, enough to allow 7 or 8 buses to slip out of the main streams of traffic. It's easy to picture that, right? But have you ever seen it done in Latin America? No, and if you had, it certainly was done by mistake. Meanwhile, the traffic chaos gets worse and worse as more hayseeds come from the boonies to find work in the big city. You know, there is a mini baby boom here in Latin America. Contrary to what's happening up in the first world, the average age of the population here is still quite young. In fact, if you're driving through any poor, low-class, or indigenous area, when you hit the main street and start seeing a lot of people walking around, you can't help but notice how many young girls are pregnant. Mostly kids having kids. That's something you rarely see with the upper middle classes and in the high-end malls. As you know, the statistics point out, the higher the level of education, the smaller the family size, etc. But in those middle and lower middle class small towns out in the boonies, where the average person on the street has maybe a 6th or 8th grade education, well, that's what you're going to get. A lot of young people making babies. And of course, as they get older, they want enough money to buy cell phones and stuff. A difficult thing to do when you're working an agricultural job, making agricultural wages. By the way, in most Latin countries, the agricultural minimum wage is much lower than the standard minimum wage. Most Latin countries have a 2 or 3-tiered minimum wage system. Oh, and in some Latin countries, ones with hefty big brother systems in place like Colombia, Argentina, Chile, and Costa Rica, they could have 10 or more different minimum wages depending on which sector you're in. Service sector, agricultural, tourism, maquila, or factory, government workers? Hey, that's an oxymoron, right? And more. And you know, anybody with a half a brain sees that's government out of control and completely nuts, but you know, we'll talk about that some other time. But as it stands, Latin countries off the gringo tourist trail usually have 3 minimum wages. 1 for factory workers, 1 for regular service sector workers, and 1 for agricultural workers. With the agricultural worker always getting the short end of the stick. Why do you think the uneducated hayseeds from the boonies come to the big city looking for jobs? Oh, and why do you think the lure of a minimum wage job up in the States, which is from 7 to now 15 bucks an hour, depending where you are, looks like manna from heaven when the average minimum factory wage job here in Latin America is around 1 to 2 bucks an hour? Well, that's a no-brainer, even for someone with a 6th or 8th grade education. Especially when the sueño americano, the American dream, comes with around 50 or more social welfare programs you could sign up for as soon as you arrive. Hey, if you don't believe me, I'll send you the government link. So again, continuing with the theme I brought up on last week's show, I don't recommend anyone living within the city limits of a medium or large Latin city. Sure, you've got all the services, entertainment, and all the shopping you could possibly want, just like the first world. And beautiful high-end subdivisions, hotel districts, business districts, and such too. But the traffic is out of this world and the pollution stifling. And like I said last week, you don't want to be within two chicken bus transfers of a ghetto. And you're going to be if you live in a medium or large-sized Latin city. That's just the way it is. Oh, and finally, I'm always talking about how Latins are lacking in first-world details. Well, one thing I mentioned some years back is Latins are the biggest litter bugs you'll ever meet. And I know you longtime listeners have heard me tell the story of way back when I was in Costa Rica, riding a chicken bus, probably 25 years ago now. And yes, there actually was a sign, in Spanish of course, right up by the bus driver. It said, "Tira su basura afuera el bus," meaning please throw your garbage and litter outside of the bus. And that's a Latin tradition. And even though you think the upper middle class and wealthy Latin population would be averse to littering and trashing their own country, especially since they're so insanely nationalistic and patriotic. I mean, you've heard how crazy those soccer matches can get, haven't you? So with Latins, the nationalism and patriotism angle is way over the top, which is beyond irony for sure, since many of them would sell their firstborn to live up in the States. And you know, some of them have. Now, as far as Latins being the kings and queens of litter, I can't tell you how many times I've been behind a brand new SUV, sometimes with government plates, and watched as the Coke cans and McDonald's wrappers got tossed out the window. Yep, that's patriotism and love of country, all right. Then there's those Latin gentlemen in high-end, expensive cars who'll pull over on the highway, whip it out, and take a leak. Now, as you might expect, it's the Latin guys doing all that littering. You almost never see Latin women throwing stuff on the ground. They're a little more couth than that. Though my question is, why don't they teach that stuff in the schools? Why aren't mothers teaching it to their own kids? Especially the concept that the world is your urinal. Oh well. Speaking of bad traffic and traffic jams in Latin America, Mexico City, Caracas, Venezuela, and Bogota, Colombia are noted for having the most severe and continuous traffic jams in all of Latin America. That's according to data compiled by an outfit called INRAX, International Traffic Data Agency. However, right now, just lately, there's practically no on the road in Caracas. And you know, it would be an excellent place to drive. Gas is practically free, except for the roadblocks, the stray bullets, the cops, and the Molotov cocktails. Anyway, the study by the INRAX says the reasons for the continuous terrible traffic jams is population and economic growth, along with continuous urban development and poor urban planning. You think? By the way, they give a top 15 list worldwide where the worst traffic situations are. Number one, believe it or not, well, maybe you can, Los Angeles. Number two, this I never guessed, Moscow. Say what? Moscow? Then you've got Bogota, Colombia, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Caracas, Venezuela, and Mexico City. So my advice again is there's nothing wrong with living close to a big Latin American city, you know, 10, 20 miles outside the city limits. But to me, there are just too many negatives to living in a big or medium-sized Latin city proper myself. And believe me, I've tried all kinds of Latin American living, from living at the beach, the Caribbean islands. I've lived next to rivers, lakes, and dormant volcanoes, and of course, my all-time favorite, the Altiplano. And I've also lived in a couple of large Latin cities, that is, with a million population or more. And my definition of a medium-sized Latin city would be 100,000 to about a million. Anyway, this might surprise you. It says here in this report that Colombia has the second worst city traffic problems in all the world. Now, that's something international living never tells you. And as for the worst country traffic problems in the world, that's Thailand. Now, for those of you who've been to Colombia, specifically Medellin, that's where all the gringos are going, and international living is pushing them there. So who'd have thunk? Worst traffic in the city is found, guess where? El Poblado, where all the gringos are. So the traffic problems there are just like all the traffic problems in most Latin American cities, only worse. That means countless motorcycles weaving between fast and slow-moving cars. You know, motorcycles will slip past you any time they possibly can, and that's why you eventually get multiple scratches in your car, and often your rear view mirror gets flipped back or even broken off. That's happened to me twice already, and it shocks you. By the time you realize what's happening, you can't do a thing, even flipping the hook, because he's long gone. Oh, and by the way, only upscale Latin gringo wannabes and deported illegal aliens know what the hook is. Now, gringos tell me it's against the law for motorcycles to weave through other cars to get ahead, or wedge through other cars at stoplights to get to the front of the line. Well, you know, the cops down here never got that memo. Nor did they get the other memos either. Like, for example, motorcycle cops riding around without helmets, though there's a helmet law. And the law against 3, 4, 5, and 6 people on a motorcycle, they didn't get that memo either. In fact, cops often ride 3 on a motorcycle. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, you'll see 3 cops on a motorcycle without helmets. In fact, I've heard many a newbie gringo say, "Johnny, look, over there, the motorcycles and cars are making lanes where there were no lanes before." All I can say is, welcome to Latin America. Oh, and the traffic is so bad in Medellin, Colombia now. They've got that system where every other day, you've got the right to drive depending on the last digit of your license plate. Even or odd. They call that system pico y placa, which means, oddly enough, small plate or small license plate. What a pain, huh? But since this is Latin America, there's always a workaround. If you're a wealthy Latin or a gringo, you buy 2 cars and make sure the plates have an even and an odd. Hey, that works. Actually, that pico y placa law is a little more complicated than that, but you get the idea. By the way, Mexico City, which is a real traffic hellhole because, well, I think they've got 15 or 16 million people there now. They've been running that alternate plate system for a long time. The locals will tell you the only ones making out on that deal are the cops, who are collecting a lot of extra bribes. All right, so again, let me mention, if you live in Medellin, Colombia, you're more than likely going to be living in the Poblado district. Since international living got on the bandwagon, Medellin, along with Cuenca, Ecuador, have become sort of the gringo capitals of South America, with the Poblado district of Medellin kind of the Miami of the Altiplano, as explained by the following email. It says, "Hi, Johnny. I have a friend, ex-military, who's retired, who lives in Medellin, Colombia, in the Poblado district. Let me tell you, I've visited him 3 or 4 times now, and man, Poblado has dreadful traffic. Not only that, it's first world expensive, and nearly everyone there is a gringo. And the water tastes funny, too, because they chlorinate the hell out of it. I'm from Philadelphia, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that everything, the food, barbershops, taxis, beer, even pirated CDs, whatever, you name it, is twice the price of everything in the outlying areas. Why? It's because of all the gringos and Europeans flooding in, of course. Oh, and another thing, if you just step out of the Poblado gringoized district, the crime is out of control. My retired friend says he's had his phone stolen twice. Both times, get this, on the Medellin Metro, that's the subway. However, I would say there are other places in Colombia that are absolutely paradise. Nice air, no pollution, not much traffic." Then he says, "Speaking of the metro and public transportation, it's so congested in Poblado and nearby these days," he says. "You're like a sardine in a can most of the time, which is probably why it's so easy to get robbed. So yes, people are feeling the pain that comes when gringos start filing in." Then he says, "I'm always curious to know what the police do in Latin America. I've seen so many cars going through red lights and making wrong turns down one ways, even speeding through gas stations to make the cut through to beat the congested traffic at the light up at the next corner. If you tried that in the U.S., you're looking at a $500 fine minimum. So my advice, Johnny, as you say, stick to the smaller towns in Colombia and everything will be fine. There are some paradises left. Thanks for all the info, Phil." All right, Phil, thanks for that. But I have to make a confession here. I'm one of those guys you talk about that cuts through gas stations occasionally to beat the congested traffic down the road at the red light. You're right, I wouldn't do that in the States. But down here, I do it once in a while too. So does everyone else. Why? Because you can get away with it. The cops will never give you a ticket for that. They don't even know it's illegal. But it does annoy some gas station owners. And to prevent that, which they can't always do because, let's face it, you might be a customer pulling in. Even so, they'll sometimes block off the corner with those big orange plastic pylons during rush hour. By the way, since we're on the topic of driving, public transportation, etc., get this. This is news coming out of Cuenca, Ecuador. Considered by International Living, Condé Nast Traveler, and others to be the number one expat retirement destination in the world. Which means it's exactly where I don't want to be. Listen to this. It says there are so many instances of drunken bus drivers that 3 years ago, the government and the police department started an experiment without any publicity because they didn't want it widely known that bus drivers were often drunk. So they placed 3 breathalyzer machines at the public bus terminal, intended as a deterrent so bus drivers wouldn't drink and drive. The drivers would blow into a tube, and if the results were negative, the breathalyzer would issue a ticket so the driver could leave the terminal and continue his route. Good idea, yes, but this is Latin America, and guess what? For at least a year now, those three breathalyzers at the bus terminal have been broken. They're not working at all, and of course, since the word maintenance is not in the Latin American dictionary, especially in the government dictionary, no one seems to be in a hurry to do anything about it. That said, I have to admit that the traffic chaos in Latin American cities is enough to drive gringos batty. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a car with a newly arrived gringo or expat. Sometimes if it just landed for the first time and I'm picking him up at the airport and we're not in the car 5 minutes when I hear the gringo in the back seat say, "Look at that! Did you see that?" It's someone running a red light or a stop sign or going the wrong way on a one-way street. It's just kind of a shock to people who've never been down here before. And that's why road rage is so prevalent in gringos here. So guys, be wary, especially if you've got a dominant road rage gene. You will get all fired up and crazy when you see things like that. I know, I've been there. In fact, I was there just yesterday. All right, enough said about that. Hey, did you know a Mexican brewery has decided to put out a new beer? It's called Amigos Beer, you know, means friend, right? Except it's got a big, ugly caricature of Donald Trump as its mascot. Yep, it's Donald Trump. He doesn't look happy. He's dressed as a mariachi with a big sombrero. And said brewery executive director Luis Enrique de la Reguera, "We knew that the Donald Trump beer label was going to be a controversial thing, but it's selling like crazy. We'll have to put on another shift." Unfortunately, though, getting back to the Latin litter problem I alluded to a little while ago, people who are buying that beer, some for a joke and some who are angry at Trump, the latter seem to be getting pleasure in smashing the bottles as a sort of violent statement against what Trump is and represents. By the way, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, you'll get to see what that beer looks like. All right, we're getting toward the end, so just a couple of fast announcements. If you're thinking of coming down to my next Latin American Insiders seminar, probably be in January 2018, send me an email and I'll keep you on the early bird list. That's theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you can't come to a seminar or get boots on the ground just yet, go to expatplanb.com and sign up for my Expat Essentials course. Having trouble getting your Plan B organized? The Expat Essentials course is just the thing for you. And for those of you who are somewhere along on your Plan B and need some specific advice, you could always set up a Skype or phone consult with me. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and download my phone consult questionnaire. Have a look at it. I'm sure it'll get the wheels spinning.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.